Asian Americans are the fastest growing group in the United States. The 19.5 million Asian Americans living in the U.S. today comprise nearly 6% of the nation's population. But most Americans know little about this diverse community and their long history. So, with breadth and detail, The Making of Asian America, A History by Erica Lee, is the first book to tell the history of Asian Americans across five centuries. Erica Lee is the granddaughter of Chinese immigrants who entered the U.S. through both Angel Island and Ellis Island, and it's a great pleasure to welcome her to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
You teach history at the University of Minnesota and also chair in immigration history and director of the Immigration History Research Center. What led you to want to write this history, this really very baseline look at the making of Asian America?
Yes. So as we know that immigration is in the news almost every day, especially in recent weeks with the presidential election coming up. And we know a lot about how immigrants came to the United States, how they're reshaping America. Sometimes there are some stories that are better known than others. We know a lot about the Ellis Island generation, for example. And as a Chinese American growing up in California, I thought that there might be another story that could be told, one that I wasn't being taught in school, one that maybe mirrored the experiences of my own family's history and many of the families that I was growing up with. And some of these questions in terms of where was this Asian American history? Who were Asian Americans? You know, how long have they been in this country? Some of those, as you said, baseline questions were things that I didn't get answers to until I went off to college, started doing some research. But I realized that even my students today are still asking those questions and still wondering about Asian Americans, as you mentioned, the fastest growing group in the United States, and their role in American life. And I felt that it was perfect time to be bringing together some of that research, bringing together some of those conversations and stories and profiles and offering something that might help a newer generation of Americans better understand this long history.
One of the things I found fascinating in the book is that you talk about how much of an umbrella term Asian American is. You point out there are 24 different ethnic groups that comprise that population of what we consider to be Asian American.
Right, absolutely. And I think when most people think of the term Asian American, there might be a pause. They might wonder what does that mean? Does that only refer to Chinese people, which is often kind of the stereotype? Chinese, maybe Japanese, but absolutely, as we know from any map, Asia is a huge array of different and very diverse countries, nations, cultures, religions, and people from all of those different regions and countries have come to the United States. So the experiences are extremely diverse, and I do point out in the book this or raise the question, is there even one Asian American history? What are some of the differences? What are the commonalities? So that it does really range from families like mine who are Chinese American, been in this country for now seven generations, but also youngsters who are coming today who are perhaps refugees or are international students. And so the story is really one that is both old and new, and it's continually remaking itself.
You point out that there's been a great transformation in immigration from Asia, a transformation in the United States, that you look at beginning in, say, 1965. What is important to note about that year and what happened?
Right. So 1965 is the last time that the United States passed comprehensive immigration reform. We know that phrase, comprehensive immigration reform, because it is in the news quite a lot, and we're continuing to debate immigration. But in 1965, this is the last time that both houses of Congress, with the leadership of President Johnson at the time, were able to pass an overhaul of immigration laws. So decades before that, we were under a very restrictive and what we now understand to be highly discriminatory regime that really closed off America to the vast majority of people, not only from Asia, but also had great restrictions placed on immigration from Southern and Eastern Europe. And with the 65 Act, which was considered another civil rights piece of legislation, we overturned those discriminatory quotas that were in place and then based immigration on family reunification and also on professional skills. And this is the system that we're still living under today for the most part. And that is the system that has allowed so many Asian immigrants and many others to come to the United States in the past 50 years.
Over that time, China has just replaced Mexico as the top country of origin for immigrants to the United States. What does that say about each culture, both China and the United States, of why people want to leave and why people want to come here?
Right. So the United States remains one of the major immigrant destinations, but of course we're not the only one. There are, as we know, many people who continue to want to go to Australia and to Western Europe as well as other places around the world. But so it says on behalf of the United States that our economy is strong, that we're attracting people with capital, with skills, with education. And it also says that on the part of China that while the economy continues to be strong there as well, there is a desire for the U.S. education, for example, or a desire to expand on those economic opportunities. And it's just another sign that people are moving around the world in much greater numbers than ever before. So it's part of our global age that we're living into.
We're talking to Erica Lee this morning. Her new book is The Making of Asian America, A History. The book is published by Simon & Schuster. When you look at, you've mentioned it a few times in our conversation about the discussions that we are having over immigration in this country. And you point out that Asians make up around 12% of the undocumented immigrant population, about 1.3 million. What do you make of that number? And what do you think we should make of that number as we are discussing an overhaul?
Right. So, and in fact, just recently, it's just last week, that another report has come out saying that the fastest growing population of undocumented immigrants is not from Mexico, but from Asia, from China and India and Korea. So one of the things that I think is important is to think about when we use the term undocumented immigrant, most often it's associated with immigrants from Latin America or specifically from Mexico. And in today's climate, it has a derogatory connotation. There's lots of consideration about undocumented immigration and crime and threats to the country. But we also know that as many politicians on both sides of the aisle have been saying that our immigration system is broken. So I think that looking at those numbers, that the fact that undocumented immigration, it affects people from all over the world, not just from Latin America, and that the growing number of undocumented immigrants are from Asia really sheds a spotlight on how this is a global phenomenon and how it is time to be thinking about some sustainable solutions to a situation because of the large numbers that it does impact.
You use a phrase in the book, model minorities. It is a common stereotype of Asian Americans, mostly referring to the idea that Asian Americans are models for other minorities because they have achieved both economic success, academic success, and by sticking to what we perceive as traditional Asian values. Talk about why that is misleading and ultimately not only inaccurate, but misleading.
A little bit of history. The model minority term really came to be framed about Asian Americans in explicit comparison to African Americans during the Civil Rights Movement. So when African Americans and many others, including Asian Americans, were talking about systemic and institutionalized discrimination, not just a change in cultural attitudes, but really, you know, inequalities that are based in the system, some of the news reports and media reports about Asian Americans being model minorities, how they weren't marching in the streets, but they were getting ahead by sticking to hard work and family values. It was that stereotype became circulated and became used as a way of downplaying the call for an overhaul in the American system and American equality. So it's always been used to compare and contrast and divide Asian Americans from other minorities. So there's that aspect of it. But then when you look at the numbers, it's really a, demographers call Asian Americans a community of contrast, because on the one hand, a large percentage, a majority of Asian Americans do have bachelor's degrees compared to the average American rate. But on the other hand, there is a consistent and persistent rate who live in poverty. It's just slightly higher than the U.S. average. And then some groups, especially those who have arrived more recently, who have arrived without perhaps those educational professional skills, or who have come as refugees fleeing war, like Vietnamese and Hmong and Cambodian and Lao, their poverty rates are much, much higher than the national average, almost 30-40%. And so this great diversity in terms of both, sure, academic achievement, some economic achievement, but also high and persistent rates of poverty really mask reflect the great diversity of the community, and having that term model minority being used for the whole community really masks that those differences.
One of the things I would like to explore before we end our conversation, and that is your writing about Asian Americans and the place they have in race relations in this country. You argue a very important place in those relations.
Absolutely. And I think this is, again, one of those things that often gets overlooked. So when we think about race in the United States, it has always been a matter of white versus black. When we think about immigration in the United States, we've either thought about Ellis Island, or we're thinking about the U.S.-Mexico border. And lost in both of those two kind of frameworks are groups like Asian Americans. Where do they fit in? Where are they along the black-white divide, for example? Or where do they fit in to these both historic and contemporary debates over immigration? And so I think many of us who work in this field really point to groups like Asian Americans to point at those in-between places, that it's looking at how Asian Americans have shifted over time. They weren't always the model minority. In fact, for decades from the mid-19th century up through World War II, they were really considered the immigrant problem, the race problem of the United States, so much so that Asian immigrants were either explicitly excluded or barred or restricted from the United States, couldn't become naturalized citizens. They were the problem in the early 20th century. How did they go from being the yellow peril, the problem, to the model minority in the late 20th century? And it's those changes over time. It's that shift between being, you know, denigrated to being held up and celebrated that really highlight kind of the complicated role of race in America, the way that things can change almost overnight, sometimes impacted by U.S. international relations, sometimes impacted by what's happening locally on the ground. And by looking at those in-between spaces and places, we can really get a better idea about how this has really worked and how complicated it really has been.
What do you hope the takeaway is from the book, from people who read the book?
So when I was growing up, I was always wondering, you know, where are Asian Americans in American history? And I know that my students still feel those gaps and holes, and they always come to me and after class, and they say, "I never knew this happened." I'm hoping that if people read this book, that there will be fewer people who can say, "I never knew this happened," but perhaps they'll hear something in the news or watch something or read something and say, "Oh yeah, I've already heard about that. I've read about that. Asian Americans have been here for a long time. They've played a really important role in American history. They continue to shape our understanding of America today, and this is pretty familiar to me." I hope that that's one of the takeaways that happens.
Do you have a sense of the future?
Historians are notably bad about predicting the future. But we know from numbers, we know from statistics that America is growing ever more diverse because of new immigration, but we're also growing ever more connected globally through trade and culture. And Asian Americans play a really important role in both of these areas. We know that the United States is projected to be a majority-minority country by 2044. Asian Americans are the second fastest group. The fastest growing group are mixed race peoples. This is part of the future of America, and I'm hoping that by helping to shed a little bit of understanding on how we've come to where we are today, that future will be a little more clear as we get there.
Erica Lee is the author of The Making of Asian America, A History. The book is published by Simon & Schuster. Erica Lee, thank you very much for sharing your expertise with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Again, the title of the book, The Making of Asian America, A History by Erica Lee. It is published by Simon & Schuster. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.